Let's go to Colossians chapter 2. General Electric Power Company.
There wasn't a seat that was.
Yesterday we studied chapter 1 through verse 22. But let's start in verse 19 again. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by your wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. So he has made peace in every place except your mind. Let's go to Isaiah 32 a minute.
He's made peace there.
Huh?
He's made peace there.
He's made peace there. But you have to abandon your mind.
Where are we going?
Isaiah 32. Remember what we, in this idea, we've talked about that what has to happen is your Jerusalem that now is, which is up here, your mind, has to be destroyed so that there's not one stone standing on another. Then in verse 14, because the palaces shall be forsaken, the multitude of the city shall be left, the forts and towers shall be for dens forever, a joy of wild asses, a pasture of flocks, until the Spirit be poured out upon us from on high, and the wilderness be a fruitful field, and the fruitful field be counted for a forest. Then judgment shall dwell in the wilderness, and righteousness remain in the fruitful field, and the work of righteousness shall be peace, absence of againstness. You've got to hear this. This is the test that cannot be faked. Remember, all of the gifts of the Spirit can be faked, but the fruit of the Spirit cannot be faked under pressure. So the purpose of time and space is to put pressure on you to find out whether or not the fruit of the Spirit really exists in you. And if you're in this particular body, you know that I keep praying that more pressure will be put on us, so that that pressure cooker will produce the mystery. Remember, it's in several places in the Scripture that this process is compared to the assaying of silver. And silver, the assaying of silver requires intense heat. And it has to be done very carefully. And you have to know, the silversmith has to know when the silver is purified, because if it's left in the heat too long, it'll destroy the silver. And the way in which the silversmith knows that the silver is at the right exact point is when the silversmith can see his reflection in the silver. And then the silver is refined. And that's the same parable or analogy with the standpoint of what God is doing with us. And so don't think it's strange if you're suffering. Don't think it's strange if there's affliction. Don't think it's strange if things don't go your way. They're not supposed to if you're a disciple. That's why it says, fret not yourself because of the evildoers who prosper in their way. The evildoers simply mean those who are bent towards self-seeking. They can prosper in the way all they want. It has nothing to do with the mystery of God. The hallmark of a saint is suffering, not success. This is why it's so rare that there is true discipleship. Everybody understand this? So think it not strange concerning the fiery trial that's come upon you to try you as though some strange thing had happened. If there is no suffering, then you're not a disciple. I promise you. Because remember, the definition of the one of Babylon is that I said a queen, I shall see no suffering. Now, what that means is that all men see suffering, but what that means is they escape from the suffering, either by mental activity or by leaving. Hallmark of the, in order for this process to be complete, there has to be abiding. You must abide. Remember it says, they went out from us, but they were not of us, for if they had been of us, they no doubt would have continued with us. So the only way that this mystery, from God's standpoint, is being completed is if there is suffering and you abide in the suffering. Not with the mind of a Gentile waiting for something else to happen, but being able to rejoice in the affliction. And this is, there's nothing more important that you can understand than this. But the work of righteousness, the effect of righteousness, the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness is quietness and assurance forever. Now, implicit in that statement is under any condition. That cannot be fake. The work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. And my people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation, in sure dwellings and quiet resting places. You got to hear this. Because your mind, you since the beginning, since the moment of your self-awareness, what you have done in your mind is you've moved towards pleasure and away from suffering. And so when you become a disciple, the opposite has to occur. You don't necessarily move away from pleasure, but you abide in the midst of the suffering, knowing it's from the hand of God. And you don't leave it in your mind. That's what fainting in your mind means. It means you leave, you go someplace else, you create a different reality in your mind. And then you wonder why you forget. Because once you've created a different reality in your mind, then the Holy Spirit has to become your enemy. Now, some of you know a lot about this. You have to abide in the midst of the suffering to find out whether or not this mystery is true, that the effect of righteousness is quietness and assurance forever, under any circumstances. Anybody have any response?
It must be the thing about chastisement and not fleeing chastisement, which all are partakers, being a bastard, that whole thing.
When you move away, or whatever you do to get to a place where you think is, better, or more peaceful, or away from the tribulation, the fact that you had to move to get there means that it's not eternal or outside of time.
Right.
It's because it says it's like assurance forever. Or
something. Right.
Forever is like from outside of time. It's a different, whole different kind of thing.
The source of all ideas is in effect some degree of chastisement or suffering. It's a way to get out of those that chastisement.
I was remembering the verse, where it says that we are suffering to the point of shedding blood.
Yeah, you have not yet suffered. That's in Hebrews.
Right. So it's like,
eventually, yeah, because the Holy Spirit becomes your enemy. That's what I've said from the beginning, from the day I was a believer. I say to the world, the devil, and the flesh, take your best shot. For greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I kind of wish sometimes I wouldn't have prayed that, but... Yeah, and what can happen? I mean, that's the meaning of faith, to know that whatever situation you're in the midst of the horrendous suffering that you hear under, you know that God is the author. And that's why it's the Babylon will always say that Satan is the author of suffering.
And when you were saying earlier about prosperity, you know, don't fret yourself.
Because of the evildoer, yeah.
I was thinking, you know, that so many times in the Bible, the prosperity is related to the wicked. Like, you know, it's like a given. You know, these people are going to prosper. But don't fret yourself about it.
Read Psalm 37. That's what it's all about. All right. The work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness, and assurance forever. And my people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation. Why? It's a peaceable habitation because we're dwelling on the mercy seat under the wings of the cherubim. That is our permanent home. That place under the wings is called the oracle of God. That's why it said, let every man speak as the oracle of God, because you're speaking from that place. If you're not in that place, you should shut up. That's why he says, what he tells you in darkness, speak thou in light. But the darkness, from God's standpoint, is any other place other than the mercy seat. All right, back to Colossians. Verse 20, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, he has made peace. It's sure. By him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you, that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. And in Scripture, in the New Testament, the word reconciled means to be exchanged. You've exchanged an identity. You are crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, you live, but not you that liveth. Christ that liveth in you. In the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable, unreprovable in his sight. It's done. It's a finished work. The whole of time and space is the antagonism to find out whether or not you believe it. It's the only thing that's going on. Okay, if you continue or abide in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. Now, what is the hope of the gospel? Anytime the word hope is mentioned in the Scriptures, it refers only and exclusively to the resurrection. Any other hope is false hope. That's what the whole engine of society is, false hope. You cannot be guilty of it. If you hope to get married, or you hope to find love, or you hope to do this, or all the other sincere BS, it's just that. It's dumb.
It's not that I'll get my act together?
No.
It's not that I'll get my act together?
No. Skippy might, but you never will. Mississippi. All right. That you not be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven. That's an incredible statement. The gospel has already been preached to every creature which is under heaven. How can that be? It says it over here too. In chapter 1. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you have heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come unto you as it is in all the world. And when was the gospel preached to every creature under heaven? On the day of Pentecost. From God's standpoint, the preaching of the gospel was sending forth his word or his seed into all flesh. That's why no matter where you are on the face of the earth, if you come to the end of yourself, Jesus Christ is there. All right.
Yeah, that makes sense, being an out-of-time event. And that preaching goes forth throughout the entire scope of time.
Yeah, and it happened. It's not that this, when it says this gospel must be preached to all nations, that's already happened. That's why we have been living in the last day since Christ was crucified. That was the last day. That's why the sun went down. That's why the day of Christ, the days always begin when the sun goes down. Think of that. When they lost the sun, that was the beginning of the last day. We have been in the night of the last day since then. The darkness cometh. The night cometh when no man can work. No man is able to work since the day of the cross. It's been one last day.
And when the sun comes up, it'll be too late.
When the sun comes up, it's over. Because, now that's why Peter exhorts us to take heed as to the light shining in the dark place till the day dawn and the day star arise in your heart. And that happens, it's over. Then time shall be no more, and everything in the universe will have to pass through that dot that's smaller than your eye can see in the twinkling of an eye. Because that's, I mean, we said so often, maybe you've forgotten, but the only thing that gives space dimension is time. And if you remove time, then there is no more space. We'll. Everything in the heavens being on fire will melt with fervent heat, and everything in the universe shall be destroyed. But we will rise up to meet him in the air, therewith to be forever with him. That's why, for some reason that I don't understand, there has to be believers alive at the last day, that rising up will happen. I happen to think it'll happen in my lifetime. I'm more than think. All right. The hope of the gospel which you have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Now, minister just means servant. But we've made minister into something special. He's not special, he's a servant. He's a bond servant. Bond slave. Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up or fulfill that which is lacking of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. That's why you glory in affliction, because they are filling up that which is lacking in the body of Christ for his sake, for his body's sake, which is the church. You know, otherwise, if you're thinking of yourself as this isolated individual, the salvation of the isolated self, and you're suffering, then you're convinced Satan is after you. And you've come up with this duality crap that, oh, there's the big war in heaven between God and Satan. Well, you know, war. Satan is by definition, ha-satan in Hebrew means the great opposer. He is supposed to oppose. That's his job by God. to fill up the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister, a servant, according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill or to complete the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. Now the mystery is still hid. It's been hid from all nations and from all generations from the beginning of time, because the mystery is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And if you don't know that Christ is in you, if you don't know that Jesus Christ is your life, then you are incapable of repentance. You're a reprobate. All you can do is say you're sorry. But the true meaning of repentance, if you know that Jesus Christ is in you, then you can leave yourself behind, giving no thought for your life. Aren't you bored with yourself? Isn't it getting old? It's certainly boring me. Even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope, the only hope, the hope of glory. Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Now, the only way that every man can be presented perfect in Christ Jesus is by abandoning you. You must abandon yourself. You must give yourself no thought. The only time you can give yourself no thought is when you've come to the end. As long as you think there's some good in you, then you're going to continue to think. And think you're going to, no matter how I can tell you till hell freezes over to give no thought to your life. Take no thought for tomorrow. Take no thought for what you're going to eat or what you're going to wear. It'll fall on deaf ears. Because you still think, or you're under the illusion, that there's something worthwhile within you. But you must come to this understanding with Paul, that is, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. It's not redeemable. It's not savable. That's why his own right arm, his own Zeruah, his own seed has gotten him the victory. Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. Now this all then has to do with the two words. One is the overcoming and the other is abiding. To him that overcometh will he give eternal life. Overcometh doesn't mean you have to do anything except go to war with yourself, because he already overcame when he bruised the head of the serpent. But you don't believe that. Well, first of all, you don't believe that you're the serpent. Second of all, you don't believe he bruised the head. Because this thing keeps masquerading as you, coming up with all these grand feelings and ideas and things. But remember, I hear this. You know, the whole cliche, necessity is the mother of invention. Well, necessity by definition is need. Need by definition is not being at peace. That's why I've said I hate ideas. If it's not 2,000 years old, it's crap. Because the only idea that has any merit is his resurrection. The only life that has any merit is his. The only way is his way. He's not going to show us the way. He is the way. He's not going to give us life. He is life. He's not going to show us truth. He is truth. He is all and in all. We just read this. For by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he's before all things, and by him all things consist. What more could you want? What's the will of God for my life? Oh, searching for the will of God. Well, there's only one will of God, and the will of God is Jesus Christ. It's not complicated. And he will live his life in you as he feels fit. But if you were running around searching for the will of God in your life, you're a fool. Because you will never find it.
Okay, I don't have to search it.
No, don't be stupid. That's enough for now. Any response?
I was thinking of two different hopes. The hope of Christ in you versus the hope of success in the world.
All right, and but you can't just hope one thing. This is like idols. You can't just have one other idol. You have to have infinite numbers. So once you hope one thing, then you got to hope 50 things, and then 50, and then 100.
Proliferation of idols of mass destruction.
Yeah.
Multiple independently targeted reentry vehicles.
We'll talk about abiding tomorrow, I hope. Everybody understand perfectly.
This reminded me of this morning. It's like, you know, that Phil Spector wall of sound thing back in the 60s. This is like a wall of, you know, it's a good thing.
What the hell is he talking about now?
You remember, you know, you just don't know you know.
Phil Spector?
Yeah, the Ronettes. Like you know that sound. This is just a giant wall of sound, it was called. It was just, he had like 50 instruments all going at the same time.
Yeah, that's what's like. There's so much happening. You know, that's why I said it's plenty to chew on, you know. Like you said like 800 things this morning. Just comes at your brain from, you know, all these different directions.
But it works.
It's good stuff.
The effect of righteousness is quietness and assurance forever. The work of righteousness is peace under any circumstance. Because he is peace. Peace is a person. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but dung. Now, that's why the subtlety of wanting to change anything or to acquire something for years that ministers to self. Or even to another person. You're never doing anything for anybody else. Once you do that, then you begin to eat their flesh, because your sustenance will be dependent on their reaction to you. What you do in thought, in word, or in deed, you do heartily as unto God. So if you're trying to do something for yourself or somebody else, then you're again a fool. And you will fail. It'll come to nothing. No, but it's so sincere. I'm living my life for my children, or I'm living my life for my wife, or my girlfriend, or my this, or my... Well, then you're a fool.
I'm living my life for the history of ideas.
You're in deep doo-doo.
Yes, the legacy.
He wants to be the legacy. Yeah, you'll be the legacy. You'll be the monument for the futility of ideas.
Did you already say take a big guy?
No.
What up one day?
Any response? Huh?
Need
just sit back and chew.
That's what you said last time.
I know, but you have to understand, you guys come here every morning. I get to come once a week.
So what happened from your last chew on?
You didn't have time to chew.
I did have something from one of the Bible studies I listened to over the internet. I did have a question. See if I can remember it. It was last week that came with it. There was a. I've got it written down.
Okay, you can call me or email me. Email John. John@trinityfi.org.
No,
Skippy@trinityfi.org.
Well, that'll get Bojo, probably.
Who will get? How do you get?
Darden's always mailing me, and it ends up to Bojo because Darden forgets that I'm Skippy. He thinks I'm John at Trinity.
She said it to Mrs. Skippy.
There is no Mrs. Skippy on
there. Yeah, it's right next to you.
Well, I do have one thing. You've got no choice but to be convicted when you read this. And then the choice is you either accept that conviction or you deny it.
Well, no. The conviction only, if it doesn't lead to leaving yourself behind, it's not true conviction. It's just the sorrow of the world. You must have repentance not to be repented of, and that's the only way that can happen.
Well, maybe conviction was the wrong word.
Well, conviction is a good word if it leads to repentance.
It definitely highlights the evil and the wrong in your life.
Good.
You can either accept hearing the truth or you can deny the truth. And that's hard.
Brings it into sharp relief.
That's my job. I have one job. Actually, two jobs. My job is to show you the great danger that you're in, and then the immediate relief that's possible. Somebody's got something else. I feel it in my bones.
You've been wrong before.
I know. It's probably me.
That thing you read, I don't remember what it was about rest and confidence and stuff.
Isaiah 32.
Yeah. There's another place where it says that same thing about in returning and rest and quietness and confidence you shall be saved or something like that. Mm-hmm. And it's just in...
It's Isaiah 40.
In repentance, there's rest, and the rest is quietness, and in that quietness is confidence.
I remember your reference about yoga. You were talking about yoga a couple of weeks ago.
About the latent power of the soul is forbidden.
Right. Since all martial art has that same desire, is it inherently evil or
no?
How you practice it?
No. It depends on what, and anything you do, all things are sanctified with prayer and thanksgiving. But if you're giving any importance to it, then it becomes an idol, just like anything else. It's not any more evil or any less evil than anything else.
Yeah, I mean, it's like when I was doing that, not this last time, but when I first took it a long time ago, you know, and they did all the...
I remember that. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, you just have to say to the guy, you know, this is ridiculous, right? Then you can go ahead and do whatever he tells you.
It's no worse than going to Christ.
probably no worse than going to Christ for the nation.
Remember when Gary asked me, well, did me going to Christ for the nations do me any good? And I said, yeah, the same good that the drug addict did, taking drugs.
I could have just taken more drugs and skipped that.
All righty, take it big guy.